Production. Recorded live.
Morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Energy. I'm Peg Donahue.
I'm Karen Calley.
And I'm Tony Page. Good morning, everyone.
Our program today is Living Stress-Free in a Stressful World. We all have stress in our lives. How do you experience stress? And how is it showing up in your life? Do you have effective ways to work with stress? We'll be discussing this and much more today. So stay with us to learn more and also to experience a relaxation exercise to help you release stress. And we'll be doing that towards the end of today's program. So Karen, how do you define stress?
Actually, one of the things that was a great realization for me many years ago now is that stress is anything that requires you to adapt. So it can be positive, it can be negative. Most of the time we think about the negative stresses in our lives, but even something positive, a job change, a move, a new home, think about all the different changes that happen when you make those kinds of life choices and what it requires of you. You know, if we're happy and going along, then we don't notice quite so much how we're adapting, and it doesn't affect us as much as it does when it's a negative stressor. We notice the pressure of that a lot more. So that also brings us to the idea of perception. A lot of stress is our perception of something, because you could say to one person, oh, you're going to go on a trip and you're going to be flying, that's great. And they may think it's great, like you do, or it may be a white-knuckle trip for them, so therefore it's going to be experienced in their body as more stressful. So that's the first thing to know about stress, is that it's anything that requires you to adapt and change.
Well, thank you. And Tony and Karen, both of you, how have you experienced stress recently?
I got up this morning.
Tell us more.
You know what? There are people that just getting up in the morning is stressful enough. And it just it becomes a daily chore. And it's unfortunate. But simple technology has probably become one of the biggest stresses for a lot of people. And I think that it plays into our comfort zone as well.
Mm. And
but I have no stress. I have no stress.
You've just kind of gone over the edge where you don't
notice
it anymore.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Well, Tony's comment about technology feeds right into a recent experience of mine. I've been thinking about how to simplify my life, and I've been looking at lots of different ways to be doing that. And one of the things that I've become very aware of is all the different things that I have to carry around and bring with me and make sure I have, and, you know, between home, office, and then when you're traveling and so on, and keeping up with things. So I decided that I was going to try to enter the new world and have a device, a phone, that I could keep my calendar in. And I've been thinking about a GPS for the car, but that's another piece of something to have. And
what did you do?
So I went to the Verizon store yesterday, and this story is actually only really funny if you know me, because I'm a technophobe. And I went into the Verizon store with this idea of trying to simplify and get an instrument that would bring my life together. And I fell in love with the Droid.
Ooh, this just came out. This is a new product that came out this weekend.
Right, and it has everything. And I'm not getting any money for advertising the droid, by the way. But
I am your father.
You know, I now have my very own R2-D2, and I'm hoping Yoda is in there, too.
So you got one. You purchased one.
I got one, but
join
the
dark side, you did.
I paid for it, and then the guy says to me, I said, so, you put the manual in the bag, right? And he said, no, there's no manual. So now I have this phone, and I'm figuring, okay, well, I'll figure this out. And I can't even answer a phone call.
Karen, a man designed this. A man designed this. There is no manual.
I love the idea there's no manual, because that's one of the things that I don't like about technology. I don't like to read any of the manuals, so I'm always one that's trying to just turn it on, and I expect it to work.
Well, they're telling me that I have to go to a class.
Oh. So,
but it really, what happened then later is when I got home and I took the package apart and went to find the power cord, there's a little get started thing in there, and it does tell you what you need to do, but it was several hours before I found that, and to not be able to answer your phone calls and think that you have now drowned in this new technology trying to make your life simpler was pretty funny. And there also is a manual, to be fair, to Verizon. You go online and you download it, but for several hours I was caught in limbo.
So what did this do to your stress levels?
Well, you know, it's funny. That's part of what I've learned. Of course, you're always going to have that immediate response. And this is something that I think that's a myth, that, you know, if we do all the right things, we're never going to get stressed. But what the research shows is you're still going to get stressed. You're going to recover more quickly. And in a situation like that, there's a quick little technique you can use, and it's called blink, breathe, and relax. So you give yourself a cue to, on an eye blink, the next thing you do is take a nice deep breath, because we always hold our breath when we're getting stressed and trying to concentrate, and then say to ourselves, relax and let go. So I've learned how to do that. So it really wasn't flipping me out. It was just kind of the funny situation that I did have the panic, and, you know, I had that voice in my head saying, what are you doing? You know you're a technophobe. But I've decided to lay down some new neurons and learn. So remaining present, remaining mindful, knowing that, you know, in spite of the fact that you feel confused, overwhelmed, and maybe not in charge, you can regain your composure and be able to figure it out. Because the minute you go into panic and stress, you're not going to figure anything out.
Absolutely. And also, I think our radio program is a great example of that, because here we are on the internet, we're on the phone, there's a lot of technology behind this. And if we stress at the last minute, then there's a risk that we'll lose our connection, our connection with our listeners and our participants. But if we follow your suggestion of blink, breathe, and just relax and let go, then the answers and the way really begins to come to us.
Well, I think also that especially on the media like radio and television, the stress just comes over the air. You can tell when somebody is stressed. It's that energy that just exudes out.
And I'd just like to take a moment and just remind everyone who's joining us that this is Living Energy, and today's program is Living Stress-Free in a Stress-Free World. And this is Peg Donahue, along with Karen Calley and Tony Pace. So, Karen, go right ahead.
What are some of the signs that tell you you're stressed, Peg and Tony? Let's start there. How do you know when stress has hit?
Well, you know, the interesting thing for me is, because of what I do in my industry, there is a stress every single day, every single moment of the day, and I have to deal with it. The issues of the technology, of this happening and that happening. So I have to just kind of pull myself back just in a moment's notice, there are times where I just stop and say, okay, I know that this is becoming overwhelming, and I need to and just sit. I'll go outside backyard is my haven where I can just sit and disconnect from the world, so to speak.
Mm. And one of our online listeners has just contributed that lack of sleep, no sleep, is a sign.
Right, right. That's a big one. Lack of sleep or too much sleeping. And, when people start looking at what's going on, you can have cognitive changes. It might be that you're feeling confused, distorted thoughts, racing thoughts is a big one. Emotionally, you might have feelings of overwhelm, get angry or cry. You can withdraw, get irritable, be frustrated. Anxiety, depression, those sorts of things happen when stress is of long standing and we're not taking care of it. Behaviorally, we can have outbursts of anger. We can be nitpicking. We can avoid situations or procrastinate. Behaviorally, we can also eat too much, eat too little. We can use negative means of coping, drugs and alcohol and food and gambling and shopping and things that give us one more problem to be stressed about usually. And physically, we get muscle tightness, headaches, fatigue, teeth grinding. And so we're all aware of those sorts of external things, although we may not pay attention to them. It's important to pay attention to them as a signal that we're stressed so that we can do something about it, but also to know what your style is. Because if you're a physical person, you get the muscle tightness and the jaw clenching and that sort of thing, then there are certain things you need to do that will work for that kind of stress. If you're an emotional person and you get the overwhelm and the anger or the irritability and those sorts of things, there are other techniques.
An online contributor has just written in that her jaw hurts from clenching, and she's relating that to stress.
Right. So you want to take a look. Again, it goes back to know thyself. How do I manifest stress? How does my body let me know that I'm beginning to feel stressed? So the kind of technique that you would choose to use has to match your symptoms. So the person who clenches their jaw and gets their shoulders up around their ears and back aches and maybe even headaches, tension headaches from neck tightness, deep relaxation works for that. For the racing thoughts, a kind of meditation that works with slowing your thoughts down and going to neutrality. But one of the other points I want to be sure I make here is that we're aware of these external symptoms. What we're not aware of is the internal body changes, because along with all those things, our heart rate's going up, our blood pressure's going up, our digestive tract shifts, the blood flow goes out to our arms and legs because we're getting ready to fight or flight, flee. We can also freeze. Those are the three Fs. Our basic response to stress is fight, flight, or freeze. That's what our body wants to prepare us to do. And that's fine if your stressor is physical. If a truck is bearing down on you and it's going to hit you if you don't get out of the way and you notice you don't have very much time, then all of that superpower is flooding your system, that adrenaline and cortisol and a whole bunch of other hormones are getting you ready to be able to fly to the other side of the street or jump to the side, jump back. And when we do that and the stress has passed, we get the relaxation response. It kicks in automatically. When our stressors are psychological, that doesn't happen. And that's what most of us are living with, whether it's technology or deadlines or too much time at work without paying attention to taking a break, eating, letting that muscle tension build up. Those are the things that wear our system out from the inside. Our immunity wears down, and we become vulnerable to illnesses at that point. So it's important to have a technique that takes care of that inside.
So Karen, let's go over the three F's again. They are fight, like we'll just fight a situation with stress, flight, leaving that situation, or freeze, stopping us in our tracks. Is that correct?
Yeah. Those are reactions,
mm-hmm.
but to really understand fight, flight, and freeze, understand the physiology that your body is getting you ready to fight or flee. Freezing really is a very primitive response, and if you think of animals in the woods, when they freeze and they become somewhat invisible, they blend into the environment, it's a protective mechanism. All these are from our hindbrain, and they're very automatic, and they're not really suitable solutions for us in this day and this time, unless, like I said, if you do have a physical stressor and you need that superhuman power to be able to get out of the way or have the fight or to flee, then it can be appropriate. But if it's your boss yelling at you, too many deadlines, or the pressures of finances, those really aren't good solutions. We have to find another way to deal with that physiology and dump it. We have to be able to dump the effect of all of that chemistry that's been triggered and be able to click on the relaxation response. And this is what happens with chronic stress. We lose our ability to click on the relaxation response.
Mm-hmm.
Can we, one of the things that I think that I learned early on is all of this, if you take it to its simplest form, for me, came down to one specific word, and it became perception. Perception of everything that I was doing. If my perception for a situation could trigger either an enormous amount of stress, or it could, if I perceived it in a different way, if I saw that it was not as stressful, or it wasn't going to create an end result that was going to cause me problems, my perception changed my stress level for that specific item. So I think one of the things we have to be able to do is to change our perception and to understand what we're going through and not over dramatize in that respect. And that's not always easy, but I think that's a part of it.
It is a big part of it. And I think that asking that question, how can I see this differently, or is there another way that I could view this, or can I let go and give myself some time for a learning curve? But unfortunately what happens with the three F's, the fight, flight response, is that all of this chemistry that gets unleashed in our system impedes our ability to think straight and get that perception. So using meditation, deep relaxation, something we're going to do at the end of the program to lead people through an exercise to show you how this works. When you take care of things at that level, automatically you find your perception in the day-to-day world shifting and changing. Some people have said, it feels like someone cleaned the cobwebs out of my mind. I can sleep better. I can let go of stress more easily, because you're bringing your higher brain centers online. In a sense, what we talked about in another show with energy. Energy flies up into the head, and it gets very erratic and shaky. And if we ground it, we bring ourselves down to thinking about the lower part of our body and feeling our feet and feeling ourselves sitting in the chair or lying on a surface, we bring ourselves back into the body and feel calmer and more centered. And then we can begin to address the stress from a different perspective.
Now, for those who are just joining us, this is Living Energy, and today's topic is living stress-free in a stressful world. So for our listeners, we encourage you to really recognize and pay attention to how stress is showing up in your life. And what are some of the signs of stress in your life? If you'd like to join us by phone, call 724 724-444-7444. That's 724-444-7444. And the call ID is 66142. That's 66142.
I think one of the other issues is people don't realize that, as you said, Karen, the positive stress and the negative stress. There are stresses that that we experience on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, that are also positive, and have an impact on our physiology, on our bodies and minds and spirits. And we try. I think one of the things that we try as a society is to group stress into one block, and we have to live stress-free. Do you think that's possible? I don't think it's possible.
No, we can't. When we say stress-free, it's not possible to be without stress altogether, or you'd be dead. It's an attitude. When we say become stress-free, what we're really saying is that you're more in charge of your inner physiology, your energy, your thoughts, your feelings, so that you're able to remain calm in the face of chaos or confusion. You might still experience it, but you can let it go. And as you said, the positive, if you start a new job that you're really excited about and you love, then you're going to go through your learning curve and any stresses that might be involved with anticipation and happiness. So it's not going to have the negative effect on wearing your system down and out the way a negative perception or a negative stress would.
Mm.
So you're right. There's certain positive stresses that are just part of living.
Hmm. Now, one of the ways stress shows up in my life is, I would say, a feeling of overwhelm, that I tend to take on a lot all at once. And I also, at the same time, want to get it all done. But that's just not possible. And so then I end up feeling overwhelmed with it. But what I've found is when I just change my perceptions about it, as Tony had said, and really put it all down on paper or write my daily to-do list, the stress really melts away, and it all really comes into focus much better than when it's all just staring me in the face or feeling that, oh my gosh, how am I going to get all of this done?
Right. That's a great point, Peg, in writing it all down, getting it. It's like you're taking it outside of you,
mm-hmm.
like in a different container. And the other thing you can do with that is to look at this unnecessary stress. And then there's necessary stress. So this is yet another shift in looking at the different types. The unnecessary.
Tell us a little bit more about each of those.
Okay, what can I get rid of? What is really not necessary for me to do? Maybe it's I can eliminate it totally from my life, or maybe I can farm out that job or that task, or maybe I could put it on the back burner and say, I'm going to get to that. You know, this is not, like if you go back to school, you may give up a lot of hobbies that you do. It's not that you're giving them up forever, but you're putting them on the back burner and saying, well, until I finish this semester or have my break or get my degree, that's not going to be a major focus. I would not encourage anybody to totally eliminate the hobbies or the fun parts of your life, because those do help you cope with stress too. But just as an example, to take a look at what are the unnecessary stresses? Where can I let go? It might be beliefs. What kind of beliefs do I have about the different parts of life that I could let go that would help me feel less stressed? Or maybe I shouldn't take on so many projects. The necessary stress is the stuff, you know, birth, death, illnesses, moving, parts of things that we do want to do, like that new job. They're necessary. You know, family members. We could get rid of our family, but we probably really don't want to. But we need to change our reaction to our response to it.
But one thing about family might be, as we make conscious choices, and I think that's what you're talking about, conscious choices about where and how we're spending our time and what we're taking on. So with family, it's about how we're spending time with them and how we're reacting to what's going on.
Well, the drama also of when you're Thanksgiving is coming up, for example, for so many people, and the holidays, and it's a stressful thing. That would and it becomes because of the drama, or you're anticipating the same old same or something happening. You're living that stress even before you're in it. So it can be just a literally a perceive. Again, it goes back to perceive. For me, it's the perception is such a powerful powerful thing. For example, Karen, you mentioned death of a family member. In order to relieve that stress, so many times we talk about the death and the loss of a family member, and that family member, the belief of that family member going on to a different place and changing the perception of from this is a bad thing to this is okay, and taking that perception away from the bad and taking the stress away by that perception.
And I happen to be... Oh, go ahead, Karen.
No, go ahead, Peg.
I was going to say I happened to be at a funeral for a very close family friend over the weekend, and it was amazing watching the impact that this person had on so many family members and friends and people really that came to pay their respects to this family. And one an elder gentleman in particular told me that just being there had really brought up for him a whole life review of his own life. So, you know, he was actually feeling relieved that a lot of stress, I think, had been relieved as he was doing this life review in relationship to this the friendship with this other gentleman that had passed away. It was really amazing, the impact. But funerals and passing of family members and friends are high on the stress charts.
Yeah, and I think that that whole idea of loss brings up some of the complexity of dealing with stress because we can have a perception, a belief system that allows us to think in a positive way about the afterlife, if you will, but we still have to deal with our own loss. And so one way to really address stress is to allow yourself to have your feelings, but to give them a process so that they can exit from your body mind. Because a lot of stress is caused by holding on and resisting and not allowing the normal flow of our feelings, but also balancing that with not getting stuck, because some people can groove the ruts of grief pretty deep and live it for years after a loss. So we have to also have a counterbalance with allowing for our negative feelings, whether they're around, well, I say negative, but they're not really negative, but tough feelings, hard
feelings.
Right,
their feelings are feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
so to address that with whatever difficult situation you may be going through, to be able to perhaps meditate to help keep your inner resiliency strong and be able to clear the inner slate, but also to have that different perspective and to also allow your feelings. So it's a much more complex kind of addressing of stress in the case of great loss.
Let me interject. One of the things with multitasking has become such a point of stress, and I'm just speaking on my behalf. A point of stress is when I'm trying to do too many things at the same time. And Karen, as you said, the going back to putting things on the burner, and there are times when look, we can't. We have to do what we have to do. But for me, there are times where just jumping on a motorcycle and taking a ride on the road. And I find that one of the reasons for that relaxing me in a sense is not so much on the physical relaxation, but the fact that I can, when I'm on a bike, for those of you who ride, you can't think of anything else. You can't be sitting there or riding and thinking, okay, I have to do this and pick up the phone and I forgot to do this. You have to concentrate on the road, and your mind can only concentrate on that item if you want to stay safe. So that takes that multitasking, and it takes everything, the external of the past, and just I end up focusing on that one thing, and it actually brings me back down to that one focal point and sort of that relaxation. Is that
well,
clear?
Well, that you're talking about mindfulness, you know, being able to be with the present moment and just be totally present within that moment. And, you know, someone did define stress as too many external stimuli coming at you all at once. And I would also argue that we can have too much stimuli coming at us from the inside out as well. We carry around so much dialogue with ourselves. But the concept of mindfulness is a wonderful one, whether you're using it in a meditative way or whether you're using it as a way to become present only with the task that you're doing now. And you'll be amazed at how much tension leaves you. It just kind of evaporates as you're just present in that moment.
Mm. Now, for those who are just joining us, this is Peg Donahue along with Karen Kelly and Tony Pace. This is Living Energy, and today's program is Living Stress-Free in a Stressful World.
Karen, can I ask you a question on physiology-based? Why is it that and I know it brings down to the Fs, the three Fs, but when we get stressed, one of the reactions that we, I'm not going to say we all have, but again, talking for me, one of the reactions is that aggravated we'll say you want to punch a wall, and it's that physical, you know, sometimes it's a physical rage that the stress is just overwhelming, and you want to release that stress in a physical, you know, you go out boxing, you go out working out, people work out and try to get rid of the stress by working out. Does that work? Is that part of the stress aspect, or is that looked at as in a different way?
No, absolutely. When I said there was a whole bunch, you know, that you could have superhuman powers, you know, women who lift cars off babies and football players who play games with broken legs, we get this tremendous influx of chemistry when we're stressed, either chronically over time or having a major stress hit you very acutely. And you get that adrenaline and that cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And as I said, the blood flow shifts to the arms and legs so that you can fight or flee. And so that kind of I want to punch the wall is like all that energy is all pent up inside you, and it's looking for a way out. So physical exercise or a physical reason, outlet, is what's necessary for that kind of energy. If the energy is of the mind, then something else. And often, you know, when I used to teach stress management in industry, I would tell people, well, you know, when you get into that state, going and sitting in the corner and meditating isn't really going to help you. You need to go run around the building a few times and dump that.
So there is a point where one is better than the other.
But no, they're the two sides of the same coin. You need to go and exercise to dump that so that you can then sit and do the meditation / relaxation. I want to take the meditation out of the realm of thinking of a, you know, a religious thing or a strictly spiritual approach, because it has very real physiological effects on people. If you start out the day on the zero line and of stress and you go to 100%, you might go to 100% by noon, by 3 o'clock, by 8 o'clock, maybe not until 3 days later. But at some point, you know, you've been gradually going up that ladder of stress. Some people hit it at 9 a.m. or Tony, as you said earlier, you wake up.
I just woke up.
You're at 100.
Yeah.
So to get below the zero line, the only thing that's going to bring you down to where you're triggering the relaxation response and you're getting the deep healing effect that's possible that will help build resiliency to stress and enable you to let go of it more quickly in the moment, the only thing that will do that for you is meditation. You know, running around the building, hiking, biking, being a marathoner, all those things are wonderful for you physically, and they can help you dump the accumulated results of fight flight. But to really do the other side of the coin, you need to do the inner work.
Mm. Karen, it's interesting you bring that up because over the past few days I've been reading a book, a business book called Authentic Leadership, and the author is Bill George. And he's a former chairman and CEO of Medtronic, a large supplier in the healthcare industry. And he spent 40 years working in major corporations, international corporations, and 10 years leading Medtronic. And so this book is really about leadership. But the point he makes, and I was delighted to come across this book, because he said authentic leaders are guided by qualities of the heart. And I thought, wow, that's really something, because that's really right up in line with all of our work. But then he goes on in this book, and he shares some experiences from his own life. And he had two very significant experiences that caused him early in his life, you know, when he was a younger man, to get in touch with what he said were his weaknesses and become more, you know, authentic. He had two personal tragedies that really brought him face to face with the meaning of life and led him to explore his true nature. And then he revealed that he, as a result of those tragedies that came up, took up meditation. He took up meditation over 30 years ago. He meditates twice a day. He uses it to relieve the stresses of leadership. And he writes in this book that meditation helps him clear away trivial thoughts and worries, enables him to focus on important things. Meditation gives him added energy to get through a stressful day. And he also says that most of his creative ideas come at the end of his meditations. And he goes on to say, but, you know, meditation isn't the end-all. It's a big part of my life. And here I am, you know, leading corporations, and, you know, he's been a business executive his whole life. But he also said you have to do some other things, regular exercise, a healthy and consistent diet, and regular sleep. So these are all things that have come up as well as crucial to his success and management of his stress. So we have lots of choices, individual choices, if you will. But much of this keeps coming back to meditation really is a key factor in all of this.
That's like a cornerstone.
Mm.
You know, in the stress management program I used to teach, it would be five aspects. And some of the things that you said, a proper diet, because there are things that you can eat that cause the stress response to be triggered. And that's basically sugar and white flour, carb kind of products. So diet is important. Exercise, we've talked a little bit about that from the dumping the excess, but also giving you maybe time in nature, a break in your day, those sorts of things. The meditation is the third point. Your relationships, how do you get along with people? How do you communicate? What are the richer parts of, the nurturing parts of your life? Also, having goals, your inner spiritual life, having deeper meaning and purpose, those sorts of things. So it has to be a multifaceted approach in taking care of the stress of your life. It's really a healthy way of living.
And Karen, we have a question that just came in asking, what is it in the food that's causing the stress?
Sugar and caffeine. And in red meat, I forget the name of the enzyme, but too much of that triggers. All three of those are major things that can trigger stress in the body. And then, of course, there are individual sensitivities that people can have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're all looking for quick energy. And, you know, when we feel depleted, that's one of the ways that we can look to get energy, but it's empty energy. You get
mm-hmm.
that quick up, and you can be sure you're going to crash in an hour or so, maybe 2 hours, depending on your physiology. And then what do? You're going to do it again. And all the while, you're triggering the fight-flight response in a way inside, and you're wearing your system down and out.
And that's
so,
one of the things that, Karen, that I'm even seeing for students now. They have these monster drinks or these high caffeine drinks. And my son, Matt, wanted it's a challenge trying to explain to him why he shouldn't be drinking them. And he hasn't been, but there's a physiology that happens with those drinks. And that adds an enormous amount of stress to your body. And people don't realize it.
It's stress on top of stress.
Absolutely. You know,
inflammation is a big thing now in relationship to disease and illnesses and predisposing you to things. So those things also create a lot of inflammation inside your body. And sugar is everywhere. I mean,
yes.
I even found it in one brand of salt. I mean, you know, it
just,
you really, and it's hard. That it,
right.
It's not a small thing to decrease and eliminate the sugar. But if you do, you'll be amazed once you get through the really crummy part of it.
Now, do you think the drinks are addictive? The drinks that Tony mentioned and soda, caffeine certainly is.
Sugar is, I mean, we know caffeine is, but sugar is highly addictive. That's why it's in everything. The food manufacturers know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're addictive. What ends up happening is it's not so much the drink itself that's addictive, but the high that you're getting or the feeling you're getting once you take that drink. It's like a drug. It's no, sort of that drug. It does what it's professed to do, and I'm not saying they're bad used correctly, but unfortunately, you have these kids like some of these Gatorade, for example.
Right.
Gatorade, a great drink. When you're doing sports, that's what it originally was set for. But all of a sudden, it's become you have people that are drinking Gatorade just as water, and in essence, water is the best thing. But
right.
I mean, it's perception; it's all perception.
And we have a few quick questions that have come in from listeners. One is: do people go through detox when getting off the sugar? That's one.
Yes.
And the second
yes.
question is, how can they manage the withdrawal symptoms? So let's talk a little bit about detoxing and the symptoms.
Can I just, because I've gone through that, I had cut out, I went through a homeopathic sort of a detox of figuring out what my body worked on. And sugar was one of the biggest things. And I noticed that... for the longest time, as I started to cut sugar off, your body wants that sugar. It's used to that sugar, and it does not relinquish it easy until you get it out of your system. And I, like you said, Karen, I don't think you can get it completely out, but until that it doesn't take hold of you anymore, it's a tough thing. Your taste buds are used to that sugar. Coffee was the biggest. I don't do sodas, but I mean coffee. I was always putting sugar in coffee and training my taste buds for coffee without sugar was tough. But when I did, all of a sudden, going back to if I put sugar in coffee, it tasted horrible for me.
Mm. So, Tony, what are some of the ways that you manage the withdrawal symptoms as you came off of sugar?
Changed over to so that when I took out refined sugar, basically table sugar, what I did was I replaced it with fruits and got that sweetness from the fruits and got that craving from the fruits so that it worked out for me mentally, and the fruits, of course, metabolized in a different way.
And plus, they're healthier for you. They're a natural
Absolutely.
Sugar. You're getting vitamins, minerals, fiber from them as well. So that's really helping your body in a new way, a different way.
Well, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the artificial sweeteners, by the way, are not much better in terms of physiologically what they do in the body. So that's something that some people do try when they're trying to get off. And, you know, if it's a transitional kind of step, it's okay, I guess. But Tony's absolutely right that the natural, you know, fruits can really help you to make the segue off of the refined sugar. But to deal with the withdrawal symptoms, also, again, going back to the exercise, meditation, other things you can use is tapping. Tapping, EFT, we mentioned last week, emotional freedom technique, has been used very successfully by people trying to get off sugar or any addiction. And, you know, think about it. Any addiction has two parts. There's the physiological part that Tony spoke to very well, and then there's the psychological part. You know, this is a treat. It's something I do for myself. It gives me a break. It's my friend, you know, all the thoughts that we have that are subliminal. We may not even be aware of how we're having a romance with this substance. So there's a book that was written many, many years ago called Sugar Blues, and I think you can still get it. And it was the thing that got me off sugar back then. Very, very graphically tells you what's really going on when you ingest sugar. So it gives you high motivation to do what is a difficult thing.
And some of the one item that we all consume that people don't realize the content of sugar is alcohol. And alcohol is you know, there's much alcohol that is very high in sugar content.
Right.
And those two things, by cutting out alcohol and sugar. And again, it's a personal preference for people that they need to make on their own. Sometimes cutting things out, some people, for example, cigarettes. People cut out cigarettes and they end up being more stressed than they were when they, you know, when they first were smoking at that time.
Yeah,
now,
for those
going back,
go ahead.
Going back to the idea of withdrawal, choose a time in your life. There's never going to be a good time where everything's wonderful, but choose a time in your life when you're more apt to be successful and you can devote more energy to this withdrawal, whatever it is, you know, with sugar, caffeine, you know, whatever it is you're trying to get off, and have a plan. And we talked about many different ways of looking at stress, of addressing stress. What are the tools that would most help you with the thoughts, with the feelings, with the behaviors, with the muscular tension, you know, and have a tool for all those different parts of it that you incorporate into your life to help you to be successful.
And I was just thinking that maybe the holidays are a great time to become more conscious of what some of our habits are and to maybe play around a little bit with bringing in healthier habits, but also the new year always marks a wonderful time to begin new and healthy habits. So that might be a future show that that we do one of these Monday mornings. And for those who are just joining us, this is Peg Donahue. I'm with Living Energy along with Karen Kelly and Tony Pace. And today's program is Living Stress-Free in a Stressful World. And Karen, would you walk us through a meditation or a stress reduction tool or technique that would be helpful for all our listeners?
I would love to. This is sort of a modification, if you will, of some of the techniques that you'll find in our program, 12 Keys, as well as Relaxation 101, Tranquil Sleep. We are always addressing the whole meditative aspect and the relaxation of the body and the mind in those programs. So one way you can begin with a particular stress that you're having currently in your life, today or this week or this month, think about that stress and notice how it hooks you. how does it make you feel in your body, in your mind, and what kind of maybe reactionary habitual pattern do you have? I want to go right away and do this to get away from it or to make it go away. Just notice how that energy, before all this biochemistry that I was talking about earlier, there is the energetic response, and that's the best level to intercede for change for ourselves, no matter what we're talking about, but in particular with stress. So get in touch with where in your body do you feel the hook, the turmoil, the tension. Stop, just close your eyes, and let yourself locate that and be fully in touch with it. But don't let your attention narrow down to focus on only it. Broaden your attention so that you're aware of the rest of you, your whole body. Breathe through that tension, that turmoil. And open up, soften. Let your breath become long and slow and easy. Notice where you're catching your breath and feeling constricted. Allow the breath to become fuller. And just notice that area of stress. It may be starting to ease, but see if you can take the labels off the stress. Whether you're having thoughts, feelings, thoughts about the feelings, see if you can feel it just as sensation, just as slow-moving energy that feels uncomfortable. But then let that go. Remove the judgments and just feel. That area of tension as well as the breath softening, opening. As you spread more and more awareness throughout your entire body. And just observe that area of tension from this more relaxed, aware state where you're not labeling, not judging. And just have an open-minded kind of curiosity. As you watch it, if it wants to change, let it, and it very well may. If it doesn't want to change, that's important to know too. But just breathing in, around, and through it, beyond it, observing it. Perhaps becoming more aware of the soles of your feet, how your feet connect to the ankles and the legs. And how your back is supported on what you're sitting or lying upon. And your mind will continue to wander back, just very gently, like taking the hand of a small child and saying, come, here, here, we'll go here now. Have to quiet the turmoil in the mind, the tension in the body, not by fighting it, but by surrendering, letting go. Noticing that we have the choice to move into the more spacious, quiet, clear awareness. Letting the peace be like a spring breeze that flows through your mind, bringing more clarity, tranquility, serenity. It's always there beneath the turmoil, no matter how upset we are. Always there, waiting for us to touch down into it. Intending to release deeper and deeper, knowing that you can, trusting that you will, letting go, and noticing that surrender and letting go is getting in touch with more courage and strength. And just feeling that, nothing to do, but just feeling a new kind of energy course through you as you let go of the restrictions, let go of the clamoring of the mind, and allow yourself to just be. Just present in this moment, to allow a deep wellspring of nurture to bubble up from deep inside. And then breathe deeply and send the warm energy of your breath down through the legs, out through the feet. Do this a couple more breaths and let yourself come back into present moment awareness, into the room, into the day, bringing that quiet inner peace with you.
Thank you, Karen.
That. Go ahead, Peg.
Okay, thank you so much. Welcome. That was great. And I'd like to let our listeners know that if they go to our website and blog, www.livingenergyworks.com, and click on the blog, that they can actually do a little questionnaire to measure the level of stress in their lives. So I encourage everybody to do that, to get an idea of how stress may be impacting your health, and then some of the things that you can do about it. And some of our products and recordings, particularly Relaxation 101, Chakras Unplugged, Tranquil Sleep, and then our foundation program, 12 Keys to Life and Self-Mastery. These are all programs that help with stress relief and stress reduction. And if you purchase any of these programs online and you add today's coupon code, which is STRESSFREE, STRESSFREE, one word, all lowercase, STRESSFREE, that's the coupon code at the end of your order, that will provide you a 15% discount on any products that you order as a result of listening to today's show and going forward with the recordings and the programs that will help you really reduce and eliminate some of the unnecessary stress in your life.
You know, we just had a comment from a listener, Peg and Tony, that said her headache went away, her neck no longer hurts, and she thinks she's becoming addicted to our show. So that's great. And another question, do we have a CD to play before sleep? And yes, there are two. Tranquil Sleep is to give you tools to be able to unwind your day, to erase the stressors, and to be able to drift off into a deep, restful sleep. Relaxation 101 was designed to be used as first thing in the morning and somewhere later in the day, like a twice-a-day type of meditation conditioning tool. And
not to be used while driving.
Right. That is to train you how to go into this deep healing state I spoke about earlier and come back out and come into your day refreshed, come back to your day refreshed. Although we've had many, many people tell us that they've never heard the end of it because they fall asleep. And that's
right.
Because you're so tired that that's really what you need is sleep. So some people do use that one to go to sleep as well.
But the program still works if you fall asleep while
right.
you're listening to it. Your body
exactly.
is still benefiting from it. So to learn more about our Living Energy programs and products, you can go to our website, www.livingenergyworks.com. You'll receive a 15% discount on all products in our store for listening to today's show. The online coupon code is STRESSFREE, all one word, all lowercase. And until next week, I'm Peg Donahue.
I'm Karen Kelly.
And I'm Tony Pace.
And we're wishing you a stress-free week.